Welcome to Cultivate the Ordinary Podcast, curious conversations for the anxious, frustrated, dejected, and bored. I'm Travis.
And I'm Jesse. So often we're held captive by screens, schedules, and media that's mind-numbing and polarizing. This leaves us seeing dimly through a fog. We want to spark more imagination and a better awareness of God's presence in the everyday.
Join us on a fun journey of discovery and curiosity as we look at the ordinary through the lenses of joy, wonder, beauty, and hope. Welcome to another episode of Cultivate the Ordinary. This is a part two sort of podcast connected to the previous one where we were talking about suffering and God's presence and Jesus being with us in hard stories, really highlighted Jeremy and this, my brother, who suffered a traumatic brain injury in a car accident in 2009. But it had so many twists and turns in that story that involved the entire family. It's changed our family. It changed the trajectory of the story of our family. A couple of my brothers were actually in the car wreck with Jeremy, and it deeply affected their lives. You heard on the previous podcast from Dan kind of helping me to navigate telling the stories and sharing his insight and experience, you know, really intertwined also with Jeremy so much. So really excited about Dan joining on part two of this as well again. And this episode is going to be more though about Jeremy and Jeremy's story, what we could describe as almost trapped in his body in a way, 24/7 care, wheelchair bed. Cannot speak because of the brain injury, has only spoken once in 15 years in a miraculous moment, but is able to communicate through spelling, moving his foot that corresponds to the alphabet, or a device, piece of technology that lets him spell through that. So very limited. So we're going to tell stories both from the past and then present of God using Jeremy. You want to add anything to the setup of this podcast?
No, I think you have set it up well. Get ready to hear more of just showcasing God's glory and what he has done through the brokenness of Jeremy and his suffering.
Yeah.
It's not in vain.
And really using Jeremy in powerful ways despite his limitations that seem almost, you know, mind-boggling. As I was thinking about old stories, I found one of Jeremy's old binders that's filled with letters and different things going way back from early on after the accident. And I found this old story that I had loosely remembered, but just was really astounded by looking back. It's back to 2011, and there was a woman, the name of Tina Hutchinson, who oversaw a Tennessee prison ministry called Holding Out Hope for female inmates. And she had heard of Jeremy's story somehow through a friend. And then with the 60 inmates she was serving, shared his story. And she made this beautiful parallel, I think, to them, where she sort of described, you know, how, you know, as their life feels like it's on hold, or that they're trapped within a cell, contained, and you know, probably most days or a lot of days feel hopeless, that there's this guy who is trapped in his body through a brain injury, who his life is very much on hold. He's contained between a bed and a wheelchair. You can tell how that would have just emotionally reached them, and in a way that they could really resonate with. And so what happened is then they started writing letters to Jeremy that encouraged him, and then shared how they were personally touched. And the letters are just incredible to read. This many years looking back, and, you know, people that saw him paint with his foot, and just even that alone for some people was just so inspiring to help them continue. But yeah, just this mutual way of encouraging each other and through their letters, and then being so touched by Jeremy's life. Tina wrote something in a letter that I think really speaks to the power of Jeremy's story and exactly kind of how God has used it. She says, "You are loved and you're making a difference. The power of a human spirit connected to the Lord breaks through walls and reaches out in a powerful way. You are doing that for us, Jeremy. Thank you for continuing to fight. You are living well. When your walls and your bed box you in, please remember that your story is not bound. Your courage is not bound. and your ability to be used by God to change lives, well, that's limitless. Today on my Facebook feed of a memory, this literally popped up right before we were going to record this podcast. And it's Jeremy spelling out on this Toby device by activating a switch with his left arm. There's a button. And this is what Jeremy actually spelled. And this comes from actually something he said in 2019. But what he spelled out was this: the gift that we have living in our hearts needs to be shared with everyone. I mean, that is exactly what this episode is about. Mm-hmm. And the gift of specifically joy, you know, for Jeremy, you know, he's sharing the good news and the hope of what Jesus has done for him and is doing, but he radiates joy that itself visually just like draws you in.
Mm. Yeah. And it's quite a thing to see, because from a worldly, earthly standpoint, Jeremy has nothing to live for. You know, we talked about in the last episode, former All-American runner, you know, fierce athlete, all those things. But now, you know, his body isn't really getting better. It's just, it keeps mm-hmm. kind of declining. Yeah. His mind seems to be getting better, but his body's breaking down. Mm-hmm. And it's just a paradox, really, when you think of how someone in his condition, so limited, can't talk, but does talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you know, so dependent upon others for help, but really infuses hope and joy and encouragement into us more than we ever would mm-hmm. for him. I remember bringing a group of pastors over one time to pray for Jeremy, and we're surrounding his bed. And I just said, Jeremy, what can we pray for you about? And he just spelled out, nothing. I'm content. How can I pray for you? And it was almost this rebuke of like, here we are, the professionals. And then he turns the tables on us. And yeah. I'm fine. I'm okay. God's enough. He's my strength. He's my shield. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's one of Jeremy's kind of battle cry statements. But how can I pray for you?
Wow. Yeah. And we've all had those moments too. It reminds me of where, you know, maybe you've had a mission experience or something. I remember we were in Honduras several years ago, and you're walking through this village praying for these people, and you think, you know, in this naive way that, you know, and in a good way, but you think that you're bringing this hope and joy, and turns out as you're about to pray for them, you're seeing the joy and the faith they have in God in their conditions and what they're experiencing. They are the ones. It's a reversal.
Yeah.
I left going, man, they actually, this trip was for me being ministered through them. I mean, it was mm-hmm. like, so yeah, Jeremy, similarly for a lot of people experience that same thing. So we're going to look back. It's kind of some historic memories and moments that, back through the years that both mark incredibly powerful ways God has used Jeremy in just, again, this paradox of just having no voice and having a bigger voice than any of us. Power and weakness. I mean, you can kind of make all these, you know, things even looking at scripture. But so going way back, our youngest brother Brett, who, you know, kind of Jeremy was a hero of his, created kind of a rallying cry mantra, but it was "Be Jeremy's legs" is what Brett, I think, actually wrote on his arm for track, cross country, or
yeah, before Brett would get into races and with Sharpie, he would etch the, and his whole team did at one point. They, you know, "Be Jeremy's legs" was in everybody's forearm.
So it was really cool. So that kind of became then this movement for people that knew Jeremy and, you know, kind of this infectious energy around the story and, you know, "Be Jeremy's legs," kind of like it's this tangible, like I can be his legs, and knowing who he is, sharing his joy, sharing, you know, his love of really even adventure and, you know, just kind of courage and all those things. So we had a website called "Be Jeremy's Legs" and it was on wristbands. I mean, yeah. And so that was a early on kind of a thing that brought people together.
Right. And yeah, bridging people together. And, you know, I go back to this race we had one time, in Spartanburg, where interestingly enough, Jeremy ran this same course on this 5K in his half marathon. You know, he's actually running against Kenyans, and we're on the same course. And yeah, it was kind of the same thing. The team kind of gathered around Jeremy's wheelchair, all had be Jeremy's legs in our arms. It was just a unifying just picture of like, man, we're going to push you, Jeremy. Like, and he was kind of pushing us, because as he's laughing as we're pushing, I mean, it was just the symbiotic, like energy, like we're giving him energy, he's giving us. And it was just this, I just remember the start of that race. It was like, we're just like running on a cloud. I mean, it was so powerful of like, we're pushing Jeremy, you know, our destination's the finish line, but at the same time, you know, Trav and Brett had the last leg of that race, and they no doubt experienced the most grueling aspect of like pushing a heavy wheelchair up a incline, but also just feeling a little bit about what he feels like in a daily basis. I mean, his every day is a race for him. It's not easy. So yeah, it's indeed a rallying cry that still holds true to today.
Yeah, that's funny. You brought up that story, because yeah, that we got a racing wheelchair, and yeah, it was a 5K event, and the whole idea was like, let's just, you know, kind of have this race with Jeremy and kind of push this new chair and have fun in it. And it's so funny, because at some point in this, you know, it's some of us running and we're like, we're actually kind of moving up ahead and kind of stuff like that, and some of us look at each other and like, should we actually like get after this thing?
They call it an audible. Yeah.
And you look down at Jeremy, and of course he's like,
I mean, this isn't, it started as a fun, you know,
are any races fun? It was, but,
to let's say check out the birds and the trees. And now it's like, no, we're actually competing, and let's actually like go try to win.
We kicked it in. Yeah. And so, yeah, you're right. You're looking down at Jeremy, who's the captain of the chair. How do you not get inspired? Like just get pumped with adrenaline. So I think we actually ended up placing like third in the race overall, and that's pushing, you know, 300 pounds with a chair. And
that's got to be good for the ego of some of these guys who actually want to come out and win. You're getting passed by a wheelchair, like as up the hill. I mean, it was like
plenty of us have gotten passed by moms with strollers in races. Yeah. So that's always a dejecting. But so, kind of another fun memory in looking back that also continues to be something that you can talk about, but, and I've shared a little bit of this, and I'll make this quick, but after Jeremy, after the accident, I had three blank canvases that he was going to do, with, was going to have a date. And then my wife, Jess, is an artist and was going to paint with us. And for some reason that night it never happened, but then I still had these blank canvases. And I was haunted by them after the accident, thinking, gosh, we never painted with him, whatever. And they're almost this reminder of the tragedy in another way and just what could have been. And, you know, kind of some just guilt over that. Like, and then I think it was a providential idea by God, but it was just like, Jeremy can paint again on this. And he has limited movement of his left foot. What about putting a paintbrush on that foot? And there we go. And so, like, put that on, and those canvases got new life. They got paint. They got art. It was like, you know, the master painter God is painting Jeremy's new story. And here he is kind of symbolically painting on this canvas that God is painting a greater picture on his life and everyone all around him, painting joy.
Yeah. And that's half the fun of it, because the other half is Jeremy names the painting.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the early paintings that we asked, you know, what do you want to name it? And he named it Fight for Joy. And that is just a summation of Jeremy's life, these last 15 years. As he's fighting for joy, he's making us better in the battle of fighting for joy. Because it, like we talked about with grief, it's a lifelong thing. And it is a battle, and it doesn't come easy, and we need each other to push each other.
Yeah. Well, and so you've kind of said a little bit about more about that artwork and stuff like that. And so through the years, Jeremy has created, I mean, we wouldn't even remember how many, probably hundreds of pieces, honestly, that he's created and painted and then named. I mean, I've given them to coworkers and, you know, they've kind of gone around the country for sure. So that's something. And then at one point, so Jeremy went to Spartanburg Methodist, and that's where he was a collegiate runner. And somehow through connections were made where, but a local professor, art professor, mm-hmm. kind of picked up the story and had an invitation for Jeremy to do an art show at his alma mater. So one year, he does an art show with his pieces that he painted with his foot.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to, I don't know, just kind of going back to that day, I mean, just seeing college kids in between class, just walking by and just seeing the impact of, like, here's a guy in a wheelchair painting. You know, I think the local news station kind of came and did a piece on it. And yeah, the art professor was so gracious enough to bring us in, really to get that whole thing platformed for people to come and see. But yeah, that would go down as probably one of the coolest things, intentional things that we've done with Jeremy's story. Absolutely.
Yeah. And just like you see the evolution of like, okay, there's this idea to get past this obstacle of like, okay, he can actually create art. And then it's like this beautiful picture. Someone else picks up another piece, sets up this event. It comes together. He now has a display, the news channel. I mean, just all these pieces just continue to build and come together. And it's like this incredible. I'm with you. That has got to be one of the all time.
And you'll get into the fitar, but that was featured as well at the art show.
It was.
Yeah.
I forgot about at the art show.
Right.
So in the show notes, we will have Jeremy's website that does show him painting for actually the news channel. Was it the interview? Mm-hmm. And then on a previous episode that's called Woodworking, Wonder, and Worshiping God Through Our Gifts, my friend Everett Conaway talks about actually the story behind this fitar instrument. But basically, quickly, what it was Everett's a musician and a woodworker, and we kind of got this idea of, could we create a stringed, amped instrument that Jeremy can strum with his left foot, similar to the paintbrush? Everett got this idea of putting a pick on like an X-Acto knife or something, and then like literally strumming this instrument he designed. And so we have video of that you can check out. And Jeremy's then making music, beautiful, you know, he's creating sound waves that are going out in the universe that through this instrument.
Yeah.
So another really cool kind of just thing that's transpired looking back and at Jeremy's story and God using his voice and Jeremy being motivated to be outward and to share his joy and hope. So we have a variety of caregivers on the team with Jeremy and helping us. And I want to say a couple of years ago, specifically with especially one of the caregivers, Garrett, Jeremy and him got into this rhythm of going to the mall to pray for people, share the gospel, good news, and meet people and just kind of bring his joy to the world. You were part of that a couple times or a few times with them. I mean, you want to take us in what that was like or what you experienced watching? Or
yeah, there's this so Garrett was just very intentional with evangelism and just getting Jeremy out there, rubbing shoulders with people just downtown. I mean, it was, took a lot of courage to do that, but more than evangelism, it was more just Jeremy, how can we pray for you? How, you know, and so Jeremy would roll up on people and just, you know, and for some it was encouraging, for others almost off-putting, like, what do I do here? Mm-hmm. This is so bizarre. I mean, this guy's not talking yet, you know, but it always ended, and we would go to the mall and different things, but it always left people, I think, just encouraged. I mean, you know, what do you say? Like, no, I don't want this paralyzed guy to right. talk to me, pray for me. I mean, it was
disarming.
It was very disarming. This is an example. This is another example. I was with Jeremy at the YMCA here in town not long ago, and you could tell something's brewing with Jeremy. I mean, he's looking at me, a lot of eye contact, arms moving. Oh boy, you know. And I kind of knelt down. Jeremy, do you have a message? And yes, okay. He's like, I want you to tell everybody in this room about Jesus. Well, oh no, you know, my heart's racing. I'm in a lobby of a lot of high school guys, you know, and then random people just sitting there. Well, what do I tell Jeremy? No, I'm not going to tell him. He's smiling, giving me the look. Well, then, okay, all right, everybody, you know, this announcement, you know, just Jeremy. And then, so now I'm having to be the evangelist because he can't talk. Well, I have to. So, I mean, and it puts me in a position of like, I mean, you got to just trust the Lord here. Yeah. And, you know, and again, another positive example. And I just got everybody's attention. Hey, I'm with my brother Jeremy. He's a quadriplegic, and he just wants to tell you about the hope of the gospel and loves Jesus and the reason for his, you know, so it didn't turn into this kind of huge, like, speech, but it was more, it got people's attention. And I remember an older lady just coming over to me, and she's, thank you. Mm-hmm. I needed this today. Mm. And again, it was nothing in me, but there's just something about seeing Jeremy in his weakness, mm-hmm. in his brokenness, displaying joy and attributing all of that to Christ. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful apologetic.
Yeah, for sure. And again, just, even just the expression, the way he radiates just physically the joy within him, it just draws you, you know, it intrigues you, you know, words don't even need to be said mm-hmm. to even be intrigued and drawn into that and go like, what is going on here? Like, this is, I want to investigate this more
There's something,
or I'm shocked by it, you know, like, so, you know, and as a pastor, you had times where Jeremy was in attendance, you know, at your church where you'd have moments of preaching and he was there. What was that like where he's there and kind of in the back or whatever?
It was a special time because, and the times that he would come and support me meant so much to me, but there would be certain points in my message where that would just resonate with Jeremy. And a lot of the times it was something on eternity, on heaven, on suffering. And you would just hear this vocal. Now Jeremy can vocalize. It's not in words, but it's often, you know, kind of this sound. And, you know, obviously it's, you could hear a pin drop. But then when I say that, you know, you hear this echo of Jeremy in the back, on this point, maybe I make about eternity awaits for the believer in our pain and our suffering. And I just remember one of the media guys one time, as he's recording this in the room with all the media guys, he said, when we heard Jeremy in the background, not a dry eye was in that room. And so it's just a beautiful picture again of, here's the paralyzed guy edifying the church through joy. And it's a powerful thing. Powerful thing. So Jeremy definitely has a ministry. And although, like we said, he cannot vocalize, you know, in many ways, Jeremy is kind of like a vessel of suffering in some ways, just how Peter was and some of how those characters in the Bible were. Like, you know, it's obvious that God prepared Jeremy in his life for what he's doing right now. You know, it's not a coincidence, I think, that Jeremy spent hours on the track and, you know, in the field running, developing endurance, because God knew, you know, you're going to need endurance, deep endurance for the race, the course that I've set out for you. And God's grace has been sufficient to meet him in that area.
You know, it kind of reminds me, looking back, and you know, we alluded to all the details around the accident, you know, that's so much of the story and with Jeremy's life. But I remember what you just said kind of sparked a memory of me going back to just really all of you guys, and how I felt like it was a comforting, you know, felt like a comforting thought by God. But just right after the accident, I mean, it just felt like, to me, when I looked at the ways in which you guys all, the outcomes of what all happened in the accident, to where it just seemed like you guys were in the only roles you could have played, to where it was either your gifts, your wirings, or your natural abilities, to how it ended up. Because I look back at, like, kind of getting off a tangent here, but like you just said this with Jeremy, I mean, this, the definition of a brain injury and this long-term recovery and is endurance. It's a marathon. It's, you know, getting through a coma that takes what seemed like 2 years. That's endurance. You know, Jeremy always was, to me as his brother, like a bit of a mystery. You know, you kind of, there's a mysterious parts of his personality. And I always remember thinking, like, in this coma and in this like time during his life, he's a mystery then, you know, in this weird representative way. Then I look at like Ryan, who, you know, sort of witnessed so much of the trauma, and it was traumatic for all of you guys to witness, of course, and go through. Ryan, more spared physically, you know, miraculously, basically almost what is removed from the vehicle, you know, with minor abrasions. But what he took through his eyes in terms of trauma of witnessing, and even like maybe the guilt of, you know, not having the injuries that you guys did, how he in his personality and wiring and through social connecting and you know, I guess peer counseling and things like that, where it's like he has that personality to where coping with that seemed, man, that's so Ryan to kind of be able to kind of, you know. And then you, I always look back at the time, you know, you're, you know, former football player, you're a linebacker, you know, it's this kind of big, burly dude that just the impact of your body hitting how it did on the paper, you know, almost like that more meatiness to embrace a tough boom, you know, it was like, I don't know that. So when you said that about Jeremy, it reminded me of almost like all three of you guys, you know, these.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's just so in God's character, right? To, you know, it just shows that, you know, all these things that happen in our lives that we can look back on, it's not in vain. It's not random. I mean, these things are, there is a purpose in this. God uses these experiences, these good and bad, to really shape us, to really form us as we're on the road to one day, you know, being with Him in eternity forever. And, you know, so, you know, I'm, and of course we talked about in the last episode, we also saw endurance embodied so much by our dad, the North Dakota farmer, the John Deere hat, just the labor, the cultivation that he had to put in physically to give to his son so that Jeremy could live another day.
Yeah.
And it's such a metaphor of God's love for his own children.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, we don't talk about this much in the story, but yeah, mom, you know, was, kind of, where do you feel like she fits in for you of kind of the way she kind of carried through this? And
yeah, mom, I think we would all say is the eternal optimist. And I say that in a good way of, you know, mom and dad went through many trials, leading up to this accident. I mean, they were missionaries in Africa and, you know, they'd seen a lot, they'd done a lot. They've went through a lot of adversity together. So for mom, she was an anchor in many ways, for us to keep our perspective. You know, she was, she's not the most vocal, but she's a presence of stability. I mean, I think for all of us, for the grandkids, for us, always looking for the bright side in things, and obviously has a deep view of God's sovereignty, that God was in this, there's a reason behind this. So yeah, but we've also seen a father give his life, and we've seen our mom, you know, give her life in many ways. Because, you know, in 2008, you couldn't have, I mean, we had no idea that the rest of our life is, you know, it's like a, like I said before, a watershed moment of, you know, everything in our life kind of sequences itself in two categories, before the accident or after the accident. And, you know, so, so yeah, mom has been a steady, steady presence for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely an encourager. And yeah. The, so we kind of veered off a little bit, going back to the accident kind of way in which, you know, kind of God has orchestrated and used, you know, I guess everyone that was in it or the people around it to facilitate, hope, healing, just kind of, yeah, almost in a way stewarding the suffering and together. Kind of going now back into Jeremy and his story now and things that we've looked at where he's had this voice that's been amplified, through the years, you know, his care means that, or his condition means that, you know, think of things like pneumonia or infections. I mean, he's one blink away from, you know, just, he could pass away, you know, just something gets really bad. And so he's had infections through the years. He's had sepsis, I think 2 or 3 times, 2-0 against sepsis. But in those moments of these hospitalizations are really scary, you know, because you just don't know what could happen or if something turns. So he's definitely had what started as an infection, maybe a UTI that's led to sepsis that can be life-threatening. But he's had multiple trips of these through the years, and it's just been incredible looking back at, you've alluded to this in the other podcasts of kind of in a spiritual way, how you saw this play out with nurses, but there's times you look at it and go like, the real patient, who is the real patient here? Jeremy's the patient going in medically, but the staff who are in need of spiritual care and spiritual hope and recovery, if you will, are getting cared for. It's just crazy because Jeremy's multiple times have been in there. In this last hospitalization, and I want to hear from you on your insights on this with what you've seen with Jeremy in the hospital. But I literally saw the like when we left, the entire floor almost was like standing like a parade. Like this is, I mean, he touched the whole floor. So I know there was some stories even of like one on those last days where, I mean, he's got kidney infection, sepsis, and he's spelling out things like, I'm here to glorify God. And it's just like,
there was a, you know, on one of the last ones this past December, I just remember me and my sister were in the waiting room, in his room in the emergency room, waiting for a bed. And it was hard. You know, they're trying to get a IV and they're having trouble there. And I just remember, and I have a picture on my phone, of this, but I looked over at Jeremy and just kind of in the dim lit room, there was a tear that was going down his face. And as he looked up into the light and just almost this, like his eyes are just set on eternity and he doesn't see like we see. I mean, like to Trav's point, he's so in tune with like a physician of the soul. Like these people need soul help.
Yeah.
They need healing. And the only one that can provide that balm is Christ. Mm-hmm. And he's so in tune with that. You know, in fact, before Jeremy had to go under anesthesia, I mean, he messaged out to my sister, can someone please witness to the surgeon as he's working on me? You know, I don't know if he's a Christian. I don't know if he knows Jesus. And again, you know, Jeremy, you know, at that moment, he may not wake up. If he does, he's with Christ. But if not, he's still here. But he wanted to know, I want him to be in eternity with me. And
yeah,
you just can't script it.
You can't. Yeah. And I go back to just thinking like he goes in as the patient to be a doctor of spiritual care. He's the one, kind of giving, you know, in that sense. And I feel that myself. Like, I care for him. Dan and I both kind of have a once-a-month respite situation where we're caregivers, where he comes to stay both at our houses separately once a month, where we do his care. And it's unbelievable getting to do that and be with him. And I think of how many times he'll come in on a weekend and maybe I'm at rock bottom with, you know, just life, you know, and struggling in certain ways or whatever. And I feel like this a lot. Like, I'm charged to care for him, help take care of him, help feed him, help clean him, all these things. And man, I'm the one getting cared for in many ways by, you know, just his hope, his joy, the things he'll tell me, he'll encourage me with. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. I think you're doing the greater care for me, Jeremy.
And isn't it so interesting? All of this is done without words. Right. He cannot speak.
Yeah.
Recently, I was in the Middle East. I had the opportunity to be a part of training some youth pastors there. And just the last kind of segment with them, I just shared the story of Jeremy. And you know, before we close it out, I said, I have a gift and I want to give each of you. And it was a piece of Jeremy's artwork that each of them got to have. And I just remember looking over at one of these guys and just lips are quivering as he's getting this piece of art that it's like I had handed him a piece of gold. I mean, it's just this precious, and it wasn't Jeremy, but he could, there was something about it. Again, strength and weakness. There's hope in the darkness. There's joy and despair. And, you know, Jeremy has just been that pain in the canvas for all of us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, so much, so many stories. I mean, there's so many stories we probably, I think we've had a journal at times and we need to look back at and remember on this, because there's so many intersections with people that we probably we're not even thinking about right now and forgotten. There's even too many to share on this, but one, I have to laugh because this is a bizarre story, but it also is kind of, it fits with Jeremy of like, you just don't know what's going to happen next with where you're going to go. So we have a good friend, Terry Gray, who, if you know Terry, all of this makes sense, but basically we used to be fans of the band growing up. MXPX is a punk rock band and we still like them, but that's more of back in a certain era, you know? And so Terry, I think did some kind of a donation type of thing where it then meant that you get to have a FaceTime call with this band. And I remember, Terry dropping this on me of like, you're going to be talking to MXPX like in a couple days or something. Just, and that's classic Terry, like how he do the delivery. And I was like, what? And then he explained, you know, he donated whatever and, Kickstarter or something like that. And, so sure enough, we have a FaceTime with the band MXPX. And what makes this really kind of comedic too is A, it's so random, but B, it's like, think about like maybe a band that you were big into in college, high school, whatever. Now let's say 10 years have transpired or longer, right? And yeah, you know, you have great memories looking back. I mean, I think we got a picture one time at a music festival with them. But how do you now quick prepare to have some relevant conversation? I mean, you don't even listen to anymore.
Well, I was there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we brought Jeremy. I mean, yeah, we brought Jeremy into this FaceTime call. Well, at some point, Trav had to kind of share the news of like, because they thought that Terry was, you know, in the shot, like he was part of this call, and he wasn't. Terry, this is weird.
It was slash a gift and a prank.
Right. So
a prank as well.
Everything's fun. You know, they're smiling and, you know, and then Trav's like, well, I just want to say, you know, I'm not Terry. And
Mike.
But from that point on, things just got weird. I mean, it was awkward. It was, so who are you? Then
it is. It's so, and I think, oh my gosh. I mean, Terry, if he was watching us live, this is exactly what he's going for. I mean, set us all up for this awkward, hilarious situation. But basically, yeah, it was like the band was almost like, okay, a little bit confused, but also going, well, if he's the one that made the get, like, don't, like, we want Terry on here. But we laugh thinking that, I think, and then he sees Jeremy, you know, in this, because I invited my sister, I think, the rest of my family that could come to this, let's just, you know, embrace awkward together. And so, like Dan was saying, so we're on this face, and so the lead singer, Mike Herrera, is watching this, and we're all on this big screen, and I think he's confused, and then once I kind of explained it, and I think right after that, you know, we sees Jeremy, and we said we just want to share a few words and things, and then they settled in, and I think it was like, okay, that's cool, let's just roll with this. And the cool thing of this story is, and Mike has kind of come out, I think, years later in interviews and stuff, to basically say, like, you know, they were pegged as this Christian punk band, but years later, I think he would say he's become agnostic, or really has kind of left the faith. And so us knowing that, Jeremy, you know, so we all said some things to the band and kind of tried to kind of engage, like, about their music and how cool they were for us, and we appreciated what the, you know, they're as artists, right? And it's the one time I feel like I've never seen Jeremy almost as nervous, because he's someone that doesn't get nervous in these situations of, like, say he's got a message to tell you, he's gonna tell you, right? I don't know what was behind, you know, you talk spiritual warfare, all of the different things, maybe just nervousness, right? But if you remember that, I remember Jeremy had a distinct thing he wanted to tell the band, and he was kind of the last one to get to say something. And he looked sweaty. I mean, he looked like he was fighting to get to say what he was going to say. And I think do you remember, but it was something basically to the effect of something, especially for the lead singer, to just something around, like, don't forget your origin, or don't forget,
I think I had brought up a lyric in one of their songs that was, you know, explicitly Christian, you know, and on that point, yeah, Jeremy, in essence, basically said, don't forget about Jesus. I mean, that's the point.
Yeah.
And it was just this, it was a very eye-opening thing because, yeah, to Travis' point, I mean, deconstructed, probably left the faith. And then to have a quadriplegic kind of just saying, like, remember who you were, remember Christ, remember your beginnings. Mm-hmm. And we both left that Zoom call thinking, like, that had to impact. I mean, that once that camera shut off, I mean, there had to be a conversation.
Yeah. And exactly. And I think, like, even their reaction was cool. It wasn't over the top sort of affirming anything, but it was like, you know, you could see in their faces, it was like, cool. I mean, thanks for sharing that. And, you know, I guess being honest with what you wanted to tell us, you know? So that was kind of again, these twists and turns of who Jeremy's going to meet. And if you're around him, you know, hang on for the ride, buckle up, because it's just, you don't know what's going to happen. And that was a great example of another story that kind of, you know, it's like, I don't even know what's going to go down here. But it was one we'll never forget, nor will MXPX probably. So, but anyway, I think we're going to bring this kind of to the end here of, we just wanted to talk about looking back at some of these historical memories of again, God amplifying a voice that really there is no voice. It's which makes it incredibly powerful. Like, Jeremy's louder than any of us, and he has a bigger, more clarion voice than I do, and I can speak and he can't. So Dan has kind of been tasked with, this is right up his alley of storytelling. Dan's really good at storytelling, and so has kind of embraced the chapter of helping Jeremy now in the present and future find new avenues and ways to, A, tell his story, bring his joy to the world, and all this kind of stuff. So I'm going to have Dan kind of bring us out of here with opportunities, stuff going on that he's kind of developing with Jeremy, ways to connect with Jeremy.
Yeah, so Trav kind of worked with Jeremy and myself of thinking through a new website. Jeremy did have an older website, and Jeremy landed on the domain name. He wanted it to be called Joy in Despair. So there's a website now we have called joyindespair.com. And it's, you know, it's a great place to go to to first of all see the story in written form, I went back and compiled a lot of notes, information. I mean, looking at Dad's journals, reflections, past, you know, kind of really putting together, you know, the story that you're hearing now. So if you want to share that, that's a great platform to go to, joindespair.com. Check out the story. You can see that. You can also download some of Jeremy's artwork. So there's an area where you can download some of his art. Other places to see the Bee Jeremy's Legs, kind of that story. We have an interview that we did with one of Jeremy's former caregivers named Slava, who happened to be a Russian caregiver that loves the Lord and just had a powerful, just a powerful synopsis of like what Jeremy kind of taught him as his years as a caregiver. So all of that can be found at joyanddespair.com. If you want to receive a newsletter, a digital newsletter, you can get on the website and on the contact section, just shoot us an email. We could get you on that newsletter. If you have questions that you want to ask Jeremy or send a message, that's a great way to do that. Joindespair.com, hit that contact page, and we'd love to communicate with you on that regard.
Awesome. Yeah. I've got the first copy of the newsletter they put together. Dan did. And, it's pretty cool. It's really powerful. So those are really awesome. I'm going to close this out with, kind of again, actually. So Jeremy named the website, spelled out Joy in Despair. And when that hits you first, it's very thought provoking. I mean, it's again, and this is, again, I go back to the miraculousness of this, because you've got to remember this. Jeremy was pronounced initially dead, was going to be brain dead, was going to be vegetative, was going to have no function, creates a website name that to me is so profound, you actually have to pause to think about what it actually fully means. Think about that. Like, his brain, which was shredded in a rollover wreck, has put together an idea and a concept that my brain, not shredded, well, he's just smarter than me anyway, but,
has, you know, it makes you pause because it's a paradox.
Well,
joy,
yeah, because
despair. I mean, those are the two most polarizing, like,
right,
categories of, like, what does that even mean? Like, how's that possible? How's that attainable? Like, what do you mean by that? And yeah, I just think it's that sums up it, him.
Yeah. And I think, wouldn't you say this, you're a pastor, and you've seen all this kind of stuff. How many of us are, you know, it's this thing of like, you know, you can get into the prosperity gospel, but far less dramatic than that and off base, you know, just this idea like, yeah, we're in this hard life, but you know, once we get Jesus, you know, things will be much better. We can cope better, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And yes, through the Holy Spirit, I mean, we have incredible hope, but it's this idea that the darkness is still here.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Jeremy, I'm still seeing light, but I'm still in the shadow.
Yeah.
And I take that as that part of that name.
Yeah. It embodies kind of the reality of, you know, it kind of counter to what maybe your typical Christian film may portray, that, you know, kind of cheesy, like everybody gets saved at the end, you know, the guy gets healed, the marriage gets restored. Yeah. All those things. And that's great. I mean, if that happens, but that's honestly not reality a lot. It is still, no, it's still not restored. He doesn't stop the
alcoholism.
I mean, it's just, and we had one of, Ryan's friends, who's a filmmaker, great filmmaker, has done a lot of work with Tim Keller and different things, but he did a little montage of Jeremy when Dad was still with us, and just followed Dad and a lot of the day-to-day care. And the last scene of his little montage was not Jeremy laughing. It was Jeremy laying down in a bed. He's still here. He hasn't been healed, but the joy is still there.
Yeah. And I'll close with this, because Jeremy then spelled out one more line that I think gives even more definition to this profound thought of, you know, joy in despair. He said, hopeless situation plus Jesus equals endless hope. So think about a hopeless situation. That's still there. He's not saying like life is all rosy and flowers because now I'm past that hopeless situation that I'm still in, and probably days he's feeling that, but with the intervention, the presence in the stairwell, as Dan said in the previous episode, of Jesus with us in our suffering, plus Jesus equals endless hope. Not just hope, endless. Man, it just, it's like you can just play around with that line in your mind throughout the day and just mine the depths of thinking
because
about that.
That's also an expectation that Jeremy has of God will show up.
Yeah.
Because he has been faithful to do that all throughout these years. It's a hopeful expectation. Endless. Yeah. It's endless.
Yeah. Take us out, Dan.
Yeah. So again, just want to encourage you, you know, if you're listening to this today, maybe you're driving or working out or whatever, and maybe, yeah, you just find yourself in absolute despair. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. The realm of hope just seems foreign. Grief is just ever present. You've lost perspective of just like that there's actually hope on the horizon. And we just hope that through this story, as I've kind of mumbled my way through putting these years together in a story, that it would just give you encouragement and give you help reorient your heart back to the gospel, that there is hope in Christ, regardless of what your circumstances may look like today. Just think of the paralyzed guy in a wheelchair, against all odds, laughing. It's a great apologetic.
For sure. And as we've said, check out Jeremy's website. The link is in the show notes, joyindespair.com, ways to connect with him and his story, the newsletter, all of that. Also, I wrote a book several years ago called Redemption's Echo, and I have the link below in that where kind of tell some of Jeremy's stories or different insights that I also include quotes from him and his own insights. So that's available as well. You'll see that link below as well. And finally, here's some encouragement, another quote. This is a line from Jeremy, and I hope it encourages you as well in whatever you're going through. He says, live life to the fullest and don't let your circumstances hold you back. Have an awesome day.